That was for 2013, everybody. The New Orleans Saints come down, kick a game-winning field goal as Nick Foles comes off the field, for the lead. And the Saints crush our hearts in 2013, not this time against the Chicago Bears. Mr. Eagle himself, former Mr. Eagle, Cody Parkey, the man of 2013. And look, just welcome into the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be all pure adrenaline because I can't believe what just happened. Louis DiBiase, this is the Lockdown Eagles postgame show. Let's collect ourselves really quick. But that was Gino Camilleri joining me. Dude, that was redemption for 2013 because I texted you, we tweeted it out. That, to a T, was exactly what happened in 2013. The Eagles drive down the field with Nick Foles, getting the lead, and then the other team comes down, has a field goal to win it, only this time Cody Parkey hits the left uprights, bounces off the lower crossbar, and it bounces outside. I thought it was going in, but we're going to New Orleans. We're going to New Orleans.
I just said before we started that this is come full circle, and now Nick Foles has a chance to redeem his only playoff loss that he suffered in his career to the hands of the New Orleans Saints. And what better way to head to New Orleans than off the way that eliminated them from the 2013 playoffs with a last-second field goal. Everybody knew they were marching down the field. It was inevitable. But Cody Parkey, thank you very much, my friend. Your services were great your first year in Philadelphia, and you came back around and did exactly what you had to do today. That was his season. He's done it all year, and everybody was talking about it, that could be the big X factor. People aren't going to believe me, but I was on a walk with my girlfriend 40 minutes before this game, and I said it's going to play out one of two ways. One, they're going to lose by 21 points in a blowout because the defense can't get it going. And by 2 points because there's going to be a missed extra point and there's going to be a last-second field goal. I thought the Eagles would win on a last-second field goal. I didn't know they would win in this matter. This is absolutely unbelievable. This is the magic of the Philadelphia Eagles. This is the magic of St. Nick. Whew! Man, I don't want this high to ever come down. We're rolling from last year. This is crazy. I love it.
So this is, at first, it just reminds me of the wild card game against the Saints, but it reminds me of the divisional round against the Falcons last year where I'm thinking, oh man, it's coming down. Yeah, it's like it's coming down to a red zone possession, only this time it's the Eagles' offense. And on fourth and goal, like Nick Foles, for everything that happened today, I thought he started off fast. The turnovers were bad. He missed against pressure in the second half. His passes were wobbly. The offense overall didn't play all that well, especially the run game. I thought the receivers had a hell of a game. I mean, Golden Tate, mm-hmm. The trade was worth it just because of this performance, that game-winning touchdown on fourth and goal. But before that, they struggled. And look, that's what Nick Foles is, high highs, low lows. But in big moments, that guy continuously steps up. He's been doing it since 2013. He went off the field against the Saints with the lead. Against the Patriots last year, the Patriots take the lead 33-32. What does Nick Foles do? He drives back down and gets the Eagles lead again to Zach Ertz. He does it again today on fourth and goal, too. That's the thing. I mean, fourth and one last year against the Patriots, he converts to Zach Ertz. Now on fourth and goal in the wild card round, he puts a perfect throw on the outside to Golden Tate for the touchdown. And then how about this, dude? Like, if you're a believer in the simulation theory, the 2018 Philadelphia Eagles might be proof of that, because it seems like this was scripted, that this was a movie where they, to get the two-point conversion, call a fake Philly special. And I don't care that they called that it wasn't a two-point conversion. I'm sorry, Wendell Smallwood had that ball over the goal line.
Dude, it was so close. I mean, Nick did everything he had to do on third and fourth downs. It was automatic. He was just right on cue every single time he had to make a play. He made a play all the way down to fourth and two. Why do they do this to us, dude? You said it was much like that Atlanta game, which it was. It came down to that fourth down play against Julio Jones. Now on the other side of the ball, we have to score on fourth down. Golden Tate, two huge plays in this game. That catch early, I think it was right after the second half or maybe second quarter, that was incredible catch in triple coverage. And then he catches it on fourth down. Good for him. Dude, good for Jason Peters and Darren Sproles. It's great to see these guys in playoff wins. Peters has never had a playoff win in an Eagles uniform for as long as that guy has been on the team. So I'm happy for them. And
he played really well against Khalil Mack today.
I think everybody played well. I knew the running game wasn't going to get open. What did I say before this? Nobody would rush for more than 50 yards?
Yep, yeah, right.
Nobody did. Because the rush, nobody could get in those gaps. It just wasn't going to happen. Early on, they kept trying those outside reads. They were trying to go inside, but Akeem Hicks was had a day for a defensive tackle. Same with Khalil Mack. He didn't get to the quarterback as much, but he was able to trail those plays. On the back end, their corners played great too. But it just came down to whoever could get the luck in their directions. I mean, we went down in the turnover battle. Nick Foles with two ugly interceptions early on. But they were just persistent. And what did I say? What team was going to come out on top and why? It's because the Eagles have that playoff experience. And I know it took a little bit of luck, but they persevered. They ran the clock well. They took as much time off as they needed. They had the game in hand, just a poor return by Cohen. Well, actually, a good return by Cohen got them in good field position. But outside of that, they played that last the fourth quarter perfectly, and they came out on top with a little bit of luck, and sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, look, I'll give it to Trubisky, too. That throw to Allen Robinson down the right side.
Beautiful.
Right over the fingertips of Avante Maddox. Corey Graham got there pretty slow, could not get over to Robinson in time. But this Eagles team, like you said, man, they just – these high pressure, I mean, just from, let's go to the Falcons game and then the Super Bowl, week one against the Falcons, the goal line stand, the week three goal line stand against the Colts, the week 17 chaos, and now this game. I mean, this Eagles team from this year and last year have taken off at least 20 years of our lives. I mean, it's just the amount of close games, and they just seemingly, this is not 2013, they just, every single time, they learn how to come out on top of these games. From 2016 to now, how this team has grown in close situations. It is unbelievable.
I wrote that article before the season. I mean, actually, after week one when they beat Atlanta in that close game, and it was about how this team learned to finish. And we saw that in 2016. That was their downfall. 2017, they pulled it out all the way through the Super Bowl. And then this team, it was a mixed bag. We had games where that were close coming down to the last plays, and we pulled them out like that Atlanta game. But then on the other side of the ball, we had games that let slip away, and this game came down to those exact scenarios. How many times did we see it, i.e. against Tennessee and Carolina? Just some big throws by a good quarterback. Mitch Trubisky, hats off to him. Those last couple drives, he was on the money. And to come back from that injury early on and make the throws that he made, you have to get your hats off to him. When the running game wasn't going, the Eagles' corners, man, whew, did those double moves give you nightmares or what? Because that was not good.
That gave me nightmares Maddox to this that was early scary. Season. Like, seeing that, I thought that was Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby out there.
Dude, yeah, I mean, Avante Maddox, he played great the first half,
say,
and the second half fell
half.
Off. He's still good, but that's what's going to happen when you're a young corner. And hats off to those guys. When the pressure wasn't getting there, they had to come up and make some plays, and they did at times. Cravon LeBlanc, unbelievable effort by that guy at all times of the game. Rasul Douglas continues to make key tackles. And defensive MVP, Lou, I think we both know who it is. It's got to be Nigel Bradham.
I was just going to say, Bradham was all – not even just with some big hits – going after Cohen, I thought he stood his ground on the sidelines from time to time. He made some plays in coverage. He was everywhere. And I think using him in these dime packages and using him more so than Jordan Hicks, I think it's the right call. He, much like last year at this time of the year, he played his best football down the stretch and in the postseason, and you're seeing that again. And he's got that thumb injury too. It's just the resiliency of this team is just unbelievable. And that field goal miss by Cody Parkey just represents this 2018 Eagles team to a T. Just pure, utter chaos that they come out through the smoke, through all the chaos, and they come out on top. That's a game you'll be talking about for the rest of your life.
Oh, 100%. And every time we think we can't get enough of these incredible Nick Foles moments, we just get more and more. And I was just thinking, like, with 7 minutes left in that game, like, how are we going to talk about the season? Like, is this Nick Foles' last game? Like,
yep.
They're talking about trading him, yada, yada. But we don't even need to talk about that because, like everybody else on the team, like this team has done all season long, every single one of them persevered. I mean, the run game early on wasn't getting going. Nick Foles threw some bad interceptions. The defense had some bigger plays, not nothing too bad. They did their job for the most part, but still, they bunkered down. The offense came on late. They got it going. They got it going at the right time, ran a perfect 4-minute drill. I don't think you could have drilled that any better than they did, especially when you don't have a running game. When you can't take off chunk minutes when you can't run the football, that's huge. So this came down to Nick Foles. And in the second half, he didn't turn it over, and he got the touchdowns when he needed to. And hats off to everybody, because every single person made a play on this team. I mean, from the front four, Fletcher Cox, he played great, I think. Jernigan had the impact plays as well. Hicks played well. Bradham played well. Offensive line looked great. Did you see the one Isaac Seumalo play where he pulled onto the linebacker and just sent him into the dirt?
He had a couple plays on Khalil Mack, too.
Yeah, he looked great. He held up in the stunts pretty well. I mean, it's tough to not get overpowered by Khalil Mack, but he held his own. I think everybody played well. It's just, you have to have some luck sometimes, and this one you really can't explain. I can't wait to like look at the tape on this one and see where things went right and wrong, like the Dallas Goedert play. Like, why can't we get him involved more? I'm sorry, I'm just
say, he has star
rambling
power
off
over.
Right now, but there's so much going through my head. This was just so exhilarating.
Dallas Goedert has star power written all over him, especially with, look, run after the catch. I was getting on Golden Tate today, and I'm going to stand down because he had a hell of a performance, finished the day with 5 catches, only 46 yards, but had that key touchdown, had some crucial catches on third downs. That whole receiving core was extremely impressive. Alshon Jeffrey just continues to save his best performances for the postseason. 6 catches for 82 yards, had a long of 30, had 9 targets. Even Nelson Agholor, look, there was that bad drop on third and goal, but still had some key third down conversions, was 3 catches for 32 yards. Dallas Goedert had the touchdown. It's just, the weapons have, the way they've spread this football around, the offense has just grown so much from, you go to that first that Saints game, and we're going to get our redemption hopefully against the Saints this week. We have an opportunity. We're going to New Orleans in the second round. But from that Saints game, really the next week against the Giants, and then from then up until now, how far this offense has come has been unbelievable, especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, you've seen it. There was the whole narrative about Carson Wentz. It wasn't clutch, really, because the whole offense was letting the team down in the second half of football games, and the defense just couldn't hold on to these 14-17-point leads. And now the defense plays really good for 3 quarters, and when the defense needs the offense to bail them out, now you've seen that growth and that development in the fourth quarter. And with Nick Foles, who's one of the most clutch quarterbacks in NFL history, he, again, I know that he is a lightning rod of a quarterback. Like, there's times where you see him playing and you're like, that guy is not a starter in the league. But then there's times like today, he is the Ice King in Game of Thrones, where nothing can faze him and he steps up in these huge moments. It just all came full circle, and you saw that growth on the field, especially with the game on the line. It was just the ultimate representation of what this Eagles team has been about, is just overcoming adversity.
I want to see the numbers on third down, because it really was quite ridiculous. Every
it's ridiculous
third and long,
how lethal they've been on third down with not only Foles but Wentz these past 2 years. I mean, they on third down,
they had the best percentage
like
in the league
stopped.
Last year.
Yep, they can't be stopped on third down.
Yeah, and it's just a testament to the play calling. I mean, it's not great to be in those situations, but Doug, he really dialed it up in the second half. I think he kind of struggled in the first half. Like, he kept trying to get the run going. Like, sometimes it's okay to go away from the run, Doug. Then he kept 11 personnel out there for a long time. Why they didn't go to 12 personnel sooner was beyond me. Even though the Dallas Goedert touchdown was in 11 personnel, shout out Ben Solak from Bleeding Green Nation, he caught that. A lot of people thought it was in 12 personnel, which most of the time when Dallas is on the field, it is. But I don't know, man. That Bears defense was so good. They did everything they had to. They got the interceptions on Foles when he looked, like you said, at his down part of his game. That's when he's really bad, when he throws up balls into quadruple coverage to Nelson Agholor, who literally had 0% chance to catch that ball. And then there's times when he throws those dimes to Alshon Jeffrey and to Golden Tate in the end zone. And it's just not, you can't comprehend what happens to this guy in these games. He has ice in his veins, and this guy has overcome so much from wanting to never play football again to this point. And just hats off to him, and hats off to everybody around each other. This team is a brotherhood, and they play for each other, and it's freaking awesome to see them go out every single week with everybody against them, plus 6.5 dogs. Everybody in the national media saying they're going to lose. Oh, you can't score on this Bears defense. You can't beat the Bears. Why are people still doubting the Eagles, Lou? Why are they doing it?
We said it on Saturday, dude. We said it yesterday. They keep doubting this football team. And would I be shocked now if they go into New Orleans and take down the Saints?
Not a chance.
No chance.
No way. This team has it all. And like we said, Foles is going to redeem that loss in 2013. I just have a feeling.
I hope so. It's going to be such a fun battle, and I think it's going to be so much different than the last game. I mean, you don't have Chandon Sullivan playing. The way the defense is right now compared to what it was then is just it's just a totally different team. I cannot believe that they're going on to the next round. But even, dude, like when they were getting ready for that field goal, I just kept saying to myself, like, what this team has gone through this year, how they got in. The chaos of Week 17, beating Washington, having the Bears take down Minnesota, having everything fall right to get you into the postseason. It would not have shocked me at all if they missed that field goal, and they did, and that was just pure joy. I mean, again, you look at just the turnover battle today, too. I think the Bears were +2. But really, the Eagles, there were so many missed opportunities, and they still ended up winning this football game on the road in Chicago against the number one defense. Back-to-back years now, the Eagles in the playoffs have beat the number one ranked defense. But you saw, I mean, Avante Maddox almost comes down with an amazing interception. Cravion LeBlanc, that whole catch thing, which they got it right. So they got it right because they got it wrong. They did not allow anyone to try to grab that fumble. It should have been a catch, and it should have been ruled a fumble where a team could try to recover it. But because they immediately ruled it incomplete, you can't then, and because no one ruled or no one allowed the one side or the other to try to recover that football, you can't go into the challenge booth and then come out and say it's a catch, because then you're like, all right, who has possession? So, but you saw that play, you saw the Maddox play, Trey Sullivan dropping a wide-open interception right in his hands. There were so many missed opportunities, and they still pulled this one out. These are the type of games, when you're the sixth seed and you have to go on the road three times to get to the Super Bowl, there's some games like this that you have to have. You got to win these scrappers, and now against the Saints, you're going to have to do more.
It's 2008 all over again, dude. They're the sixth seed. They pull out some magic. I mean, they're not playing Tavares Jackson like they did in 08, but they came out and beat, once again, the top defense. And my friend, who is a Packers fan, said the Eagles have a 10% chance of winning this game against Chicago. He just texted me and said they have a negative 10% winning against the Saints. Let me tell you that he also said that they wouldn't beat Atlanta last year, they wouldn't beat Minnesota, and they wouldn't beat New England.
Bad
so
track
if
record.
We're going against my friend, they're going to beat the Saints. And I think they have a damn good chance of doing so. Lou, like you said, Chandon Sullivan isn't lining up outside. You have a resurgent cornerback core with Rasul Douglas and Avante Maddox and Cravion LeBlanc. Dude, I every time I watch him play, it's just spectacular. He looked like a 10-year veteran out there with the plays he was making. He literally looked like Peanut Tillman at time, extending his arms to make plays on the football. It was unbelievable. And this team, they're creating pressure. They got pressure in big moments, even though they let up a bad drive at the end, but that's going to happen from time to time. We've seen that with this team. The linebackers were tackling. There were some missed open field tackles, but this isn't the team that lost 48-7. This isn't the team that lost to the Dallas Cowboys. This is a team that has now gone on a streak of winning close games, winning important games, and they're continuing to gain playoff experience. Outside of this year, Lou, look, even if the season ended today, look how many young players this team has moving forward that are going to have playoff experience. You now have Avante Maddox with playoff experience, Dallas Goedert. You have all these young guys that continue to grow and excel in big moments, and that's huge. People said they didn't want to get in because they wanted a better draft pick. BS. This is where you want to be. You want to be in these situations. Even if that field goal from Parkey would have went in, the game came down to the wire. You know what you have to do the next time you come to the playoffs. This game was huge. It's just a testament from top to bottom. Jim Schwartz called a great game. Doug Peterson, he came around and ended up calling a great game. Nick Foles righted his wrongs. The defense righted their wrongs. And they just came out on top, and they're a resilient bunch, and they never cease to amaze me.
Yeah, look, we said it from the start. Getting this team into the playoffs was all that mattered. Just get them in, because there were too many times this year where you saw, hey, look, there's the 2017 Eagles all over again, and they melt down in the second half of football games. It's just I talked about from 2016 up until now how far they've come in close games, but really just the tale of two halves this season. When we're talking about the first half of the season and the second half, how far they've come in closing out football games, how even when you see, oh, they're missing open field tackles again, here are some suspect calls on third down, they can't run the football. But you saw them shake out of that, whereas a lot of the times when they got into those modes, they got into some of those mistakes, it just all started stockpiling downhill, started rolling downhill, and they just couldn't get out of the funk, and they ended up blowing a lot of games. They ended up blowing the Tennessee game, the Carolina game, the Minnesota game. There's too many to count, and the way they changed that alone, the way the coaching staff was able to fix that, the way the defense has come together, the way Nick Foles has been able to help this offense play huge in big moments, I can't believe how different. Like, if we were going in the past, if we time traveled to me and you back to that Carolina game and told each other, like, this is what was going to happen, I wouldn't believe it. But at the same time,
I tell you, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, but at the same time, we saw enough that I was thinking, as long as they have a chance, as long as I keep using this NFL playoff machine and I can get the Eagles in at least the sixth seed, I'm going to take those odds because something like this could happen. And you'll never stop believing when the Eagles have this core, because this core has magic to it. There is something extremely special about this Eagles roster that we're going to be talking about for the next 50 years of our lifetime as Eagles fans.
Let's go back to last week when Chicago was playing Minnesota. Do you think they might want to lose that game right about now?
I was going to say, they got to regret it so much now.
What? Everybody says it. Everybody said it. Even some of the national media said it, that nobody wants to see this Eagles team in the playoffs, yet they let us in. And that's what everybody says. I just watched a video of Jason Peters walking off the field. He says nobody wanted us, and when nobody's going to believe in us, we believe in us. And that's exactly what they did. Everybody counted them out once again. I feel like we're in the Twilight Zone, and I feel like this is last season against Atlanta. Everybody counted us out in that game. We had a poor first half, and in the second half, we did just enough, got a couple bounces to go our way to win that football game. And why do I have a weird feeling we go into New Orleans and just blow them out of the water next week? Like, why is that idea in my head right now?
I am prepared for it, but I don't know if I'm emotionally ready yet for another deep run like they were last year. I was excited about,
they beat the number one defense,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's very realistic chance that if
it's
they
crazy.
Beat New Orleans, because then it's, if they beat New Orleans, this is the test right here. If they beat New Orleans, I think we get to the Super Bowl, because I look at that Rams team, who we beat just a month ago, and they're still a very beatable football team if you get pressure to Jared Goff. Much like Mitch Trubisky today. Mitch Trubisky, I did not fear that he was going to throw the Bears back into that ballgame. And while he made some big plays down the stretch, again, it was more so what the Eagles weren't doing. The Eagles were the better football team today. Me and you went down the list of units of this roster, of these rosters and the coaching staffs, and I kept saying, I'm sorry, but this Eagles team should not be 7-point underdogs. They just shouldn't. I know it's on the road. I know the Bears have been a great team this year in the number one defense, but you look at the rosters and the experience and the talent and the head coaches and the coaching staff collectively as a whole unit, this Eagles team was right there with the Bears, if not better, and they proved to be the better team this week. And it's much like the Rams. If they play the Rams, I'm not scared of Jared Goff. And if they play the Dallas Cowboys again, there is no way this Eagles team is losing to Dallas three times. I just cannot see it happening, considering they almost won both games and probably should have won the second. This Saints game is the game really to get to Atlanta, if you ask me. I think that if they beat the Saints, it's much like the Minnesota game last year in the NFC Championship, where there was no way the Eagles were losing that football game. They were just too hyped, they were too confident, and they were playing too well as a collective unit, like Nelson Aguilar said this week before the game. They've just all been clicking together every single spot. You even said it earlier in the show. You got contributions from almost everybody outside of the run game, and you still got some splash plays from Darren Sproles and Wendell Smallwood here and there. But if they get past the Saints next week, I mean, these were the two tough tests with Chicago and New Orleans. After that, we might be seeing Kansas City or New England and Atlanta, dude. It's we're that close. To me, it's this one game.
Could you imagine the pandemonium if Dallas won and we went to play Dallas in Dallas and
I'm sure the rest
beat
of the NFL
them to go to the Super Bowl?
I'm sure
Philadelphia would
like
explode
it.
As a whole.
Yeah, the NFL wouldn't like it, considering everyone bashes on the NFC East. If they had two NFC East teams in the NFC title game, that
I just tweeted
be
that out,
favorite.
Actually. I said the NFC East? Since there's two right. of them in the semifinals.
look, I think that these are the two tough tests. I'm not going to overlook the Rams. I'm not going to overlook the Cowboys. I don't want to talk about as if the Eagles are in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, no.
This is a
we have to beat New
test.
Orleans. I want to beat New Orleans.
This is one of the hardest. I don't think there was a team in last year's playoff run that could do what the Saints did. Like, the Patriots, they're one of the best dynasties in sports history. But this Saints team the Eagles are about to play is the best team they've played in the playoffs in the past 2 years.
I said, when was it, last week, that the Saints and Chargers were my pick to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but
and
I picked the Saints to win it all in the summer.
I don't know about you, but I really don't care about predictions. I want this Eagles team to go into New Orleans and absolutely kick the mess out of them. A lot of this comes down to how much New Orleans, i.e., Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, talk crap about Philadelphia because they are salty that they somehow didn't beat Minnesota last year to get to the NFC Championship, so now they're mad at us. Doesn't make much sense, but we're going to find out who is the real team come next week. And I like our odds, dude. I really do. This team is not who it was a few weeks ago against them. This team is not going to come out and lose 48-7. You've seen the Saints be susceptible the last quarter of the season. They can be beat. This Eagles team right now, they have everything on their side. I expect them to move the ball better against New Orleans. I expect them to make bigger plays on defense because realistically, on offense, Chicago had the better set of receivers. Outside of Michael Thomas, who do they really have? If you could stop Kamara and Ingram and take away Thomas, you're fine. This Chicago team, Anthony Miller was making plays. Taylor Gabriel was making plays. Allen Robinson was making plays. Even their, I can't think of his name, but the backup tight end there,
yeah,
he was
no
making
idea.
Plays. Bellamy was making plays. Cohen was making plays. It's like you can't look at New Orleans outside of what they did to us a few weeks ago with no names and say these guys can score for them. If you shut down Michael Thomas and shut down Kamara, I think you got a good chance of winning. And the way this team has been playing on defense, I think they are going to be very lucky and have a good chance to go down there and really cement their case for being the representative in the NFC. You can't look at any of these rosters right now and say this Eagles team can't compete with the best of them, not just in the NFC, but the AFC as well. Front four, the way the linebackers have been playing, the secondary stepped up, the offensive line, the quarterback play, the wide receivers were great today. If you can establish a run game, you now have all the elements of this team going at the right time. And I think they can get it going next week against New Orleans. I think that's the matchup that they can get in favorable situations, unlike they did today against Chicago. And that was bound to happen. It's a very good defense. But next week, how are you going to recover from this tough test, much like you did against Atlanta last season, and come out hopefully with another big offensive showing?
God, I can't believe we're talking about so many playoff wins. I mean, you just look at like, just. I mean, we're younger Eagles fans, but for me, 2008 was an unbelievable run. But then you had 2009 where they lost to the Dallas Cowboys in the wild card round. 2010 they lost to the Packers in the wild card round. They lost to the Saints in 2013 in the most devastating type of way. This type of game, like my stomach, my whole body is still shaking because I cannot take games where you take the lead and there's still too much time left on the clock and you're thinking, man, that offense still has too much time left. If they get in field goal range, there's nothing you can do about it except hope that they miss the field goal, which Cody Parkey did. But that is the ultimate type of football game that drives me nuts because there's just nothing you can do but hope Cody Parkey misses that kick. It's such a psychological battle for the kickers. It's something I would not be able to do, so I can't fault him. But, man, he hit that first field goal, too, and Doug Peterson calls the timeout. He freezes him, and Cody Parkey, who I think missed the second most field goals this year, or hit the post the second most times, he did it again.
Dude, they held Khalil Mack to zero sacks tonight. Jason Peters played one of the best games at tackle we've seen all season. Look at what they've done the last 4 weeks against unbelievable pass rushes. The Rams, they shut down Aaron Donald. Next week against Houston, they shut down J.J. Watt. The next week against Washington, they shut down Ryan Kerrigan. Now against Khalil Mack, man, New Orleans, their front is good, but they're no Chicago Bears. If they can shut down that front next week and get the play action going, how many times did they run a play action in this game? Like three or four?
Yeah.
Like I can't remember it at all that they even called those plays, but I think next week's matchup is so much more favorable than it is this week. A lot of people were saying that if you can get past Chicago, that's where you can make your run. And this Chicago team had a lot of promise. They're a team built for January. They had that very good defense. I just think it came down to experience. And like you said, the kicker, if Jake Elliott was on the other side of that, I'd be confident he makes a 43-yard chip shot like that. You know, that it's a lot of pressure for the kid, and it obviously got to him. Doug Peterson, hats off to you for icing them at the right time. I was questioning if they should have used that, maybe use that timeout to get the ball back, maybe one more throw on a Hail Mary opportunity or whatnot, but he made the right play. And Cody Parkey, oh, somebody said that Trayvon Hester might have tipped that final ball that made Parkey's field goal go wide, which maybe is a reasoning behind it, but I just think he outright missed it. But I just, when this team, it feels like history is going to repeat itself. Like when Tree Cone had that good return, I looked at my girlfriend and I said, here we go again. Same exact scenario. We were sitting in Tennessee against Carolina, against Dallas, against all these teams throughout the year. They went back to 2017 and just settled down and ran that last quarter perfectly. And they didn't waver. I just had a feeling the whole time when they were down 5 points that Nick Foles was going to score. It just, in my gut, I never felt like that game was over. They always had a chance, and I have always felt that way with Nick, and it's promising to see. And I love Carson. You saw the smile on his face when Nick threw that touchdown pass. You love to see it, but you got to feel bad that he's not in the games. But at the same time, Nick is just so great in these moments, and we're going to look back and think, 10 to 15 years down the road after these guys retire, that maybe Carson comes out with a couple Super Bowls and Nick has a couple Super Bowls under his belt, that we had both of these guys at one moment in time, and how incredible it is.
It's not Joe Montana and Steve Young, but it
no.
It seems pretty close. Let me just, based on the situation with how Foles
think about the quarterbacking around the NFL right now, and yeah, how understaffed it is, and we have, I keep saying it, we have three of the top 45 best quarterbacks in football with Nate Sudfeld. These guys are just so great, and you have Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. I don't think it's a bad problem to have. I love that we had him in this situation. If it's the backup on, I'd say, 75% of other teams, maybe even 85-90%, they don't win this football game against a healthy Bears team who is only really down one or two guys throughout the season. If you put a backup in the situation of the Philadelphia Eagles, who were down how many guys on IR? 12 plus, I think. Yep. You're down. You played 14 guys in your secondary throughout the year. You have a poor core rotation on defensive tackles most of the year. You have a poor rotation at wide receiver for the first part of the year. Nobody is going to have the success that Nick Foles had, and he just perseveres over and over again, and they find a way to win these games. And now they're on to New Orleans, a team that, if everything comes full circle, Nick Foles will get his redemption, go on to whoever, Los Angeles or Dallas. I think we could beat both of those teams. I think this is a big test coming up. But this team has the magic once again. I think they're feeling it. When they posted that video of them dancing in the locker room, yep, I mean in the meeting room, I was like, this is 2017 all over again. They have the magic again. We have that feeling, and it's great to have, because I'm sure a lot of the teams right now don't have that magic, and you got to be thinking, if you're in New Orleans, you have to be a little bit scared. Like, this team is hot right now. You can't be thinking this is a sure shot victory. You can't look over this Philadelphia Eagles team.
I would much rather be playing Dallas right now if I was the Saints. Redemption on Dak Prescott is going to be a lot easier than to try to hold off the Eagles getting redemption on you.
100%, especially this Eagles team that, if they would have saw you in the NFC Championship game last year, probably would have knocked you out because nobody was beating this team.
That's a little personal.
It is, definitely. And Foles lost to that team and in 2013, and that was a knock on him, and Chip held it against them and ships him out of town because he didn't think he was the guy. And now look, Nick is the guy. And it's just remarkable that time and time again he does it. Like, how do we? He's 9-1 in December and the playoffs the last two seasons. That's freaking crazy, dude. There's Hall of Fame quarterbacks that don't have winning percentages in late months like Nick Foles did. It's a mystery that is never going to be solved. The rock and roller coaster career of Nick Foles, that it's not coming to a close yet because we're on to New Orleans, and the guy gets another chance to put another trophy on the Nick Foles banner, on the Nick Foles shrine, that he just comes out with these huge wins, and he's always going to be remembered as one of the great quarterbacks in Philadelphia Eagles history. And if he gets a couple more wins, you could talk about him being better than Donovan McNabb, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's almost there already just with some of the accomplishments he has with the records. I think they're going to retire his number. It's one of the most unique stories in all of sports is Nick Foles' career. How he just came on the scene with 27 touchdowns and two picks, gets the lead in a playoff game, then the next year struggles, gets traded, almost retires after falling apart in St. Louis, comes back as a backup, ends up winning a Super Bowl, getting benched again, a Super Bowl MVP, most of the time doesn't get benched unless you're Joe Flacco, you know, 5 years down the road. The next year, though, Foles returns right back to the bench, comes back, leads a team that seemed dead in the water at 6-7, and makes the playoffs. It's the craziest, and yet again, you see some bad plays in the first half. They're like, oh, there's the Nick Foles we saw week one and two. It's one of the most unique stories, but a team has to be falling in love with this, and you saw the report by Ian Rappaport this morning that the Eagles are probably going to have a trade market for Foles. They're going to try to deal him in the offseason, and we're not going to get deep into that right now, but after today's performance, that fourth quarter drive, that fourth and goal touchdown to Golden Tate, I don't know, but the Eagles might be able to get a first-round pick for this guy next. They're going to get something for him, and a team's going to be happy with him as their starter.
Yeah, it was kind of inevitable you would hear these talks because it is a poor class, and we can get more into that down the road. But you have to feel good because Nick, he went from like a questionable second-round pick to like a surefire first-round pick, because if you want to get a quarterback, you're not going to get one in the first round. So why don't you just send a first-round pick on over our way? You look at a team like Jacksonville, who has a good foundation. Are they willing to ship out a first-round pick? There's multiple teams around the league that are going to need a guy like Nick Foles. And today's performance and the performance the last 3 weeks and the performance last season all are going to play into that. And I think teams are going to learn that Nick Foles is a Doug Peterson guy, and he plays well in this Doug Peterson-style offense, which makes him click so well. But I don't think, if we're going to have this discussion, that Nick Foles really did many things outside of this system that elevated this team in this game. I want to go back and watch it before I make like any assumptions, but the plays were there for him, you know. There were a couple like remarkable throws, but at the same time, he wasn't escaping pressures and making top-tier throws like you would see Wentz throw. But I'm not going to take away from his performance, but I ultimately didn't think outside of the system and the play call that Doug Peterson had that Nick Foles really did anything to elevate this group.
Yeah, there were a lot of spectacular catches, too. He had some overthrows where Alshon Jeffrey made a spectacular catch.
He had some ugly throws.
Zach Ertz made an incredible catch that was super high. If that goes a little bit higher, if Ertz doesn't go up and get that, might be intercepted by Eddie Jackson. I thought Golden Tate, that play where he just lunges out across the middle of the field.
That could have been a pick six.
Yeah, Golden Tate had some big plays today. Really, I've been critical of the trade. I think even run after the catch, I think Nelson Aguilar's been better in that area. I think Dallas Goedert's been better. But the ability to step out clutch in this game, to me, didn't make the trade worth it necessarily because it was a third-round pick. But this is why you got a target like Golden Tate, to make a guy like Nick Foles' job easier. I'm with you. I think this was closer to the Rams win, the performance against LA. It was more closer to the performance against Washington than it was against Houston, where Foles just played out of his mind. And I thought in the fourth quarter, Foles made some big throws that he had to that were outside the system, but you're right. I think it was a lot closer to the Washington win and the LA win, where a lot of this was on the offensive line. I thought the receivers and the tight ends played incredible today, and Foles played within the system, and they got enough points, ended up winning the football game 16-15. Razor-thin margin. Come down, Cody Parkey misses the field goal, and the Eagles are moving on to the second round. They will take on the New Orleans Saints next Sunday. Gino, I think it's what, a 4 o'clock start again, or do we got a late game?
It's 4:40 again, okay, and 4:40 just some again. Good news for you Eagles fans. We're 9-point dogs, so strap on the masks once again, because the underdogs are back.
Unbelievable. They're going to be underdogs again the rest of the... Can you imagine if they won it all again? That would be... Let's see, 3 playoff games last year and 4 playoff wins this year. They'd be 7-0 in playoff games back-to-back years where they were the underdog.
and they also have as many they have more playoff wins in the last 2 years than Dallas has since 1996. So just mark that on your calendars for people at home to remember to look back to your VHS tapes if you want to see the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. Because this Eagles team, I hope we have the chance to play the Cowboys, because I have a damn good feeling as 9-point dogs, because big underdogs usually have good success in the NFL, are going to go into New Orleans. They're going to beat Drew Brees. They're going to take away his fantasy story. And then they're going to play one of those two teams, a Sean McVay team who has never beat Doug Peterson, or a Cowboys team who is not going to beat this Eagles team 3 times in a single season. And they're going to move on to the Super Bowl, my friend. And Nick Foles is going to have one last magical ride in an Eagles uniform before we ship him out for 2 first-round picks. And we have a whole collection of picks next year to stockpile around Carson Wentz. And we're living good because we're Eagles fans. Fly, Eagles, fly. I'm done for the night. That's a good way to end it, in my opinion, Lou.
Good way to end it as well. A huge test against the Saints. It's going to be the hardest game the Eagles have had to overcome this year. But hey, the season is alive for another week. They've kept it going for 2 weeks longer than a lot of Eagles fans have thought. That's going to do it for the Lockdown Eagles postgame show. The Eagles win against the Chicago Bears in Soldier Field 16-15. Another playoff victory for Nick Foles and the Eagles belt. That's going to do it for Gino Camilleri and myself, Louie DiBiase, signing off. Please check out LockedOnEagles.com. We're going to have podcasts all throughout the week as we recap this thriller in Chicago, and then we move on to New Orleans in the divisional round. 1 win down, 3 to go. Fly, Eagles, fly. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Bird.